We're in the middle of Simen Chof Hey, in the middle of Sif Yud Beis. So yesterday we discussed the Mechaber three different cases. You take the tefillin off with Kavanah to put them right back on. Mechaber says make a bracha, Ramah says do not. The tefillin, you move the tefillin out of the place and then back into place. Again, say Machlokas Mechaber Ramah. And then we said in theory, the Mechaber and Ramah both agree that if the tefillin get moved out of place without your knowledge, then you put it back, then in theory you would have to make a bracha. But the Mishabura and the Mogen Avraham bring down the Shlah, who says that we're not knowing to make, even though both Mechaber and Ramah agree to make a bracha in such a case, we're not knowing to do that because our understanding is I'm wearing the tefillin for the entire Shachris. And therefore, even if it got moved out of place and I didn't know it, it's ki'ilu, I moved it out, moved it back in, that's where it's supposed to be. Fine. Now we're on the bottom line on page 68 in my edition. Mi shemeiniach tefillin shel yad. Ubirech. He starts putting on tefillin shel yad, he makes a bracha, the Mishabura points out there's no difference between the shel yad and shel rosh over here. He makes a bracha, ubetchila sahiduk, so it's a very unusual case, which I've never ever heard happening in real life. But as he's tightening his tefillin shel yad, nifsak hakesha shel yad, the knot on the tefillin gets undone. So, v'hutzuk lasas kesher achas, so now we're assuming basically that he knows how to make another knot, or the guy next to him in shul does, and he's going to, on the spot, remake that knot of the shel yad, or shel rosh for that matter. Amnam, but lo yisiach daito. But he doesn't have a hesach adas. He made the bracha on the tefillin, but he's about to put him on. The knot gets undone. He puts the knot back together again, but his intentions, obviously, is to put the tefillin right back on using the bracha that he made. Eino tzarech lachzo levarech. He does not need to make another bracha.
What's the Kiddush Achar? But he was oisik in something?
So, let's see the Mishabura. Mishmur is going to tell us, basically, when you make a bracha on a mitzvah, let's say working with the shita samachaber, okay? You make a bracha on the mitzvah, the bracha is hovering in the air, waiting to be chal on the mitzvah. Once you do the mitzvah, and it's chal on the mitzvah, if you now undo the mitzvah, you take off your talis, you take off your tefillin, and you put it back on, according to the Shulchan, you have to make another bracha. Your bracha goes bye-bye. Your bracha only works while the tefillin are on for that initial mitzvah. Okay, let's see that in the Mishabur. Mishabur Sif Katanun, Ulavarach. The cave and the low nasa adayim mitzvah anocha, since he did not yet do the mitzvah of anocha's tefillin. Nimtza de lo chola adayim a bracha al shum mitzvah. The bracha was not yechal on the mitzvah. The bracha was hovering in the air, waiting to be chal on the mitzvah. Vasiya sa kesha eno mafsik. So making the kesha on the tefillin is not a hefsik. Cave and shum inyan a mitzvah. Obviously, it's part of doing the mitzvah. Alkein chayil habracha al hanacha shniyah. The bracha is waiting in the air, waiting to be chal. It was not chal initially because you didn't do the mitzvah initially. Now there's a little bit of a hefsek, okay, but it's not a halachic hefsek because all the tzorech hatfillin. And therefore, once you put them on, the bracha is chal on that, and it's a good bracha. Okay, skip down two, three lines. The Mishabura says, umashra midivrei ha-shulchan aruch. I don't understand what is exactly mashva, because the Shulchan Aruch goes on to discuss, here we discuss where the knot gets undone, then we discuss where you let's say, tighten the shell, yeah, but it gets untightened, which is not, that's not so uncommon. And the two are very similar. So here the Mishabura says, umashva midivrei ha-Shulchan Aruch, dem la'achar shehidek ha-tfilin al ha-zroa nifsak ha-kesher, I put the tefillin on my arm, it's on. And now, poof, something happens and the knot gets undone. Tzarich lachzor ulevarech. Now I have to make another bracha. Why? Dikvar nigmar ma'isa mitzvah. The ma'isa mitzvah is done. The bracha was chal on the mitzvah. Once the mitzvah gets undone, boom, you need, according to the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, which Ashkenazim don't follow, and we said yesterday, Sfardim also don't follow the ma'isa. Yaki Yosef says to go like the Ramah, that you don't make another bracha. So here, habadei kinishmatu mimkomam. Here it's like it went out of place, which would be unintentionally. That the Mechaber and the Ramah both agree you have to make a bracha. The tzarech levar kishemach ziram v'chanal, like we said yesterday. The achronim cholku al zeh. So what do the achronim disagree with over here? The kosvu. The kevan. So let's say, there's no difference Ashkenazim and Sfardim. We said like this. We learned last week. Ashkenazim make a bracha of laniach tefillin on the shel yad, but that bracha is also going on the shel rosh, and then we also make a bracha of al mitzvah tefillin. So the shel yad has one bracha of laniach tefillin, the shel rosh has two brachas of the laniach and al mitzvah tefillin. Mashenki, the Sfaradim make one bracha, just lahaniach, and that lahaniach is the bracha that goes on both of them. So both Ashkenazim and Sfaradim are using the bracha of lahaniach not only for the shel yad, but also for the shel rosh. Ashkenazim also add the bracha of al mitzvah tefillin, but the lahaniach is going on both. So here the Achron says it's a beautiful word. The kevan the birchas lahaniach shebirach kodem hanochah shel yad koi gamal tefillin shel rosh. Since your initial bracha of lahaniach tefillin is not only going on the shel yad, but it continues on the shel rosh, kedi the isa la'el, like we learned previously. Vimken kozman shlohiniach tefillin shel rosh adain also b'mitzvah hashayich los bracha lo nigmar adain ha'mitzvah shebirach alav hachiniach gam ha'shel rosh. Adkar. So what's he saying? We said like this. The bracha is hovering until you do the mitzvah. Once you do the mitzvah, poof, the bracha is done. Now when the mitzvah gets undone, you have to make another bracha. But in the case of tefillin, it's unique because the bracha of lahaniach, it hovers not only for the shel yad, it continues hovering for the shel rosh. So if the shel yad is going to get undone right away before you put the shel rosh in place, that bracha is still hovering. So it's not only hovering for the shel rosh that you're going to put on, it's hovering for the subsequent, for the second putting on of the shel yad. It will count for the second putting on of the shel yad as well. Let's skip down a line over the two lines. Nifsaka kesha shalrosh or shayad la acha shekvarniacha shalrosh. If I put on the shayad and I put on the shalrosh and now it gets undone, either one, vahatku, and now I redo it, then tzarech lachzor levarach. Then I have to make another bracha. If no one knows how to make the knot, vutzuch lakachas tefillin acherim. I have no choice. I have to go get someone else's tefillin, another pair of tefillin. Then for sure you have to make another bracha since it's a new mitzvah object. The dami lo de simen reish vav sif vav, which is hilchos brachos, where you have kavan on one thing and that disappears, and now you want to take something else, then you'd have to make another bracha. Okay, let's continue. Let's go through that again in Shulchan Aruch. The bottom line of page 68. Mi sheminiach tefillin shel yad. He's putting on tefillin shel yad. Ubirech. He makes a bracha. Uvetchilas ahiduk. As he's tightening the knot, nifsak hakesher shel yad. The kesher shel yad gets undone. Vuchuch lasas kesher acher. He has to do another kesher. Omnom, however, lo isiach daito. There's no hetzach adas. His kavon is to still put on that shel yad. Ein utarach lachzor ulevarach. Okay, that's what we just did. Im hutar shel yad. Kodem hanocha shel rosh. If the shel yad gets unknotted, but that you tie it to your arm and it gets untied from the arm, and all of a sudden it's like the bar mitzvah boys are not used to it, and all of a sudden it's like hanging there. So mahadkan ve'ein tzarech lachzor ulevarech. Then you do not need to make another bracha. Why not? Let's see again. In Huta Shel Yad, Kodem Hanacha Shel Rosh, because it's like we said before, it's before the Hanacha Shel Rosh. That's why I don't know why they want to say the Mashmoz of the Shulchan Aruch is not like that. He says in Mufurish, in Huta Shel Yad, why should it be different by the Nifsak HaKesher? So in Huta Shel Yad, Kodem Hanacha Shel Rosh, so the Bracha is still hovering, waiting for the Shel Rosh, Mahat Kevein Shel Lach Shel Levarech, because that Bracha still works for the second placement of the Shel Yad, because it's still waiting for the shel rosh. Aval, eminiach shel rosh, v'achak achut shel yad. If you put the shel rosh and then the shel yad gets undone, then mahadek umavarech. Then you have to re-put the shel yad and make another bracha, because the bracha disappeared. Once you put on the shel rosh, the bracha is done. Nigmar. Right. This is the mechaber. Although the Ramah also agrees, if it gets moved out of place by accident, this is the same thing. Here it's got undone, you know, without your knowledge. All of a sudden, poof! It's not where it's supposed to be. It's not even there. So you have to put it back and make a bracha. So yesterday we said over from the Shla that we had a Gemara. The Rabbanan Dvei Rashi, when they would be mamashmesh with the tefillin, they'd make a bracha. What does it mean they would be mamashmesh with the tefillin? So we paskin, when the tefillin get moved out of place, without your knowledge, you put it back, you have to make another bracha. The Shulchan Aruch agrees to that, and the Rambam agrees to that. That's a Gemara. Basically a Gemara. That's the way the Rosh, the Ri, the Torah understand the Gemara. That's how we pass it. But we still said from the Shlah, because I wear my tefillin from the beginning of Shacharis to the end of Shacharis, just because I moved out of place doesn't mean that it's as if my das is on, it's not Hetzach HaDas, my das is on the tefillin the whole time. Practically speaking, I'm not going to make another bracha. So do we say the same thing in this case, where it didn't move out of place, it got undone? So here, the Mishnah Brura in Sif Katan Nun Beis, second half of Sif Katan Nun Beis says, "Ulufi mashikas savnu le'el b'shem ashlah ein levarich imhutu atzvil bezman atzvilah b'chol gavne." You should not make another bracha because, like the Shlah said, your kavana is to wear the tefillin the whole time, even though some accident happens, something happens, and it gets undone somehow, moved out of place, whatever it is, no bracha. However, in this, it's mamish not the practical shaila, but in this bir halacha, di bar masla, ein tzarech lachzor levarech. So he basically, he sort of disagrees with this, with the application of the shlah.
It's not so common.
Very good. Right. So that's what he concludes. So first he concludes that everyone really says if it gets moved out of place, you should make another bracha. Then he says even though there's a shlah and we go with the shlah, the whole davening, you know, you're not going to make another bracha because your kavanah is for the whole davening. Not everyone agrees with that shlah. And then he throws in all the way at the end. Over there in the Shlah's case that we discussed yesterday with the tefillin just getting moved out of place. It's normal that your tefillin, all of a sudden your shell rose, you find, you know, in the wrong place. That's normal. So then my kavan is, I make the bracha initially, my tefillin is going to get moved out of place, they're going to come back into place, you know, I don't have to make another bracha. It's all part of the original bracha. It's all part of the original kavana. But this is a wild case. The knot of the shell rosh or shell yak gets untied. It's not common. It's not found. Never happens. Vigam and also, but prima godim derachai mashmekay and ayin sham alkein nearly pasha damavarech lo hifsid bazem. So he doesn't, you know, necessarily disagree with what he says in the Mishnah Berurah 100%, but he waters it down and definitely says that if you want to make a bracha, you definitely, lo hifsid, you have on what to rely, you can make a bracha. Still sounds like you don't have to make a bracha. The bottom line, Mishnah Berurah says not to make a bracha, but you see from the Bir Halacha that it's not so simple. Okay, that really is the conclusion of the sugya that we started yesterday with Sif Yud Beis. Rabbi Ratner, I'm sorry that it must have been hard to follow since you were in here yesterday. Sorry, you can get the tapes. It was a heavy duty one yesterday. Okay, now this also I don't understand why the Mechaber did this. Also in the Beis Yosef, he throws in like six words. I don't know. It's a totally separate discussion. He throws it in at the end over here. Mutu levarich al tefillin sheulin. You're allowed to make a bracha on borrowed tefillin. Here the Mishnah Berurah Katan Nun Gimel. He mentions what we learned already in Hilchos Tzitzis, that in theory, or in practice, in theory you're allowed to borrow someone's tefillin without their permission, because we assume that people are happy that mitzvahs are performed with their mitzvah objects. Even though we discussed at the time that many poskim say nowadays it's not like that. People are makbid on their tefillin. There the Ramah said tefillin and tzitzis you can borrow without permission, and svarim you can't. And nowadays many poskim say dafka the opposite. Svarim are a dime a dozen, and maybe the papers. And then people are makbid on the tefillin and the tzitzis don't necessarily want you taking their talis and their tefillin. Okay, but assuming that they're not makbid, if you borrow tefillin, there's no problem of wearing someone else's tefillin in theory. I can't use your esrog on the first day of Sukkot. I'm not yotze. I can't wear your tzitzis. I'm not yotze. Unless, right? It's a matan amanas lahakse. But by tefillin, we don't have that. So mutu levarach al tefillin she'ulin, borrow tefillin is no problem. Velo al gezulin, but you cannot make a bracha on stolen tefillin. So this famous sugya of lulav hagazel in Sukkah, and we discussed it when we had it by Hilchos Tzitzis. So here, the Beis Yosef brings down the Orchos Chaim, who brings down the Itter, who says that you're allowed to make a bracha on tefillin she'ulim, you're not allowed to make a bracha on stolen tefillin, until you have two things. Yeyush, the person from whom it was stolen gives up hope of ever getting it back, and Shini Rishus, it changed possession. It means I'm not the ganav gave it to me. So the Ganav stole it. The guy had Yeish. He gave up hope of ever getting it back. Then the Shini Rishus, he gave it to me. Those two things together now make it mine. And I can wear it. And according to the Itter, I can make a bracha on such tefillin. Now, the Mechaber doesn't say, the Mechaber quotes that in the Beis Yosef, but here he doesn't say that. All he says is, you're allowed to make a bracha on Gzulin. You're not allowed to make a bracha on Gzulin. He doesn't say until you have X, Y, and Z. Could be, you're never allowed to make a bracha on Gzulin, period. Doesn't matter. If Yeish, and Shini Rishus, and Shini Shem, and Shini Maisa, and everything else, doesn't matter.
Like we saw
about
Tzitzis,
that
making a bracha is always
awesome. Right. So.
Not always. Almost always.
Okay, so here's the discussion. Is it a din in the bracha? Is it a din in the fact that it's a mitzvah b'avera? Mitzvah b'avera is not a din in a bracha. So the Magen Avraham brings down mitzvah b'avera. That's what the Mishnah Berurah brings down over here. Mitzvah b'avera is not meaning from the Mechaber. It could be, it's a din in a bracha. If it's tefillin Rabbeinu Tam, so I could put them on. I get a mitzvah. I just can't make a bracha. So let's see, Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat and Nundal, very important. Gzulin. Davle mitzvah b'avera. Even if the guy gave up of ever getting it back, it's still a mitzvah b'avera. It's still not mine. You're not kona something just from yeish. You put it on lo kiyei mitzvah tefillin. You get zero credit. It's a mitzvah b'avera. Ach, but yimachra tefillin la'achar yeish la'acher. After yeish, you now sell the tefillin to someone else. So now you have yeish and shini rishus. So the Beis Yosef brought down from the Itter that yeish and rishus, you could do the mitzvah and you can even make a bracha. The Mechaber didn't say that. So das hamogen Avram b'tof reish mem tes, which is hilchos sukkah, uva masah shekel al b'simin yud aleph, which is hilchos tzitzis, the yuchel hasheni levarich, the second guy can make a bracha. Once you have yeish, you have shini rishus, like the Itter, you can make a bracha. Dili didei have a yeish v'shini rishus. There's yeish, the guy gave up hope of him getting it back, and it changed possession after that point, and therefore you can make a bracha. Achein, but Hataz va'agra b'simin zekosu behedya, they write explicitly over here, debachol gami also levarich. You cannot make a bracha on such tefillin. According to the Gra, such tefillin, you are yotze if you put them on. Ach, le'inyan bracha also, you still can't make a bracha. That means that we are stricter when it comes to brachos than we are to the fulfillment of the mitzvah itself. So here's an object, it was stolen, not by me, by someone else. There was yeish, there was shini rishus, which normally would make it mine. So it's not a mitzvah b'avera anymore. I could put on the tefillin. I get credit for putting on the tefillin. I'm not saying it's the best pair of tefillin to wear, but you would get credit for such a mitzvah, but you still can't make a bracha. So that's a big, big, big machlokas aposkim, if you can make a bracha in such a case. So the Taz and the Gra say no bracha in such a case. That when you steal something, to make a bracha on that, it's not blessing God, it's a form of blasphemy. So he's explaining why now it becomes yours, because after it's been stolen, and there's yeish, and the shini rishus, it came to my possession.
You're involved in it.
So then, you still yotze the mitzvah. Yotze gzeila mirishus habaylim.
He's explaining why you shouldn't make a
I think he's explaining why you're yotze the mitzvah. You're probably right. The idea that kichos yotze gzeila mirishus habaylim, meaning you're sticking involved. Meaning when you took it away from the guy, now it became yours.
Right, he needed you.
And whose was it? It was the guy from whom it was stolen. So okay, good. Right, you're right. Ah, now let's say you go and sell it to someone else. Mi shalokach mehasheni hazeh nirad yuchal levarich. Then already you can make a bracha if it's already a kli shlishi, whatever. Already sold to someone else. Because I wasn't involved. It already did not belong to the, meaning the gazel still has to pay the nigzal for what he's stolen. But the object no longer belongs to the nigzal. Okay. Good. And this is again, tefillin, sukkah comes up frequently. Okay. Sif Yud Gimel. Nagu ha'olam shelo lachlot tefillin ad achar kedushas uvalitzim. The minhag ha'olam is not to take the tefillin off until after the kedusha of uvalitzim. Okay, now the end of Mishnah Berurah Sifkato Nun Hei, the last line of Mishnah Berurah Sifkato Nun Hei, points out, v'yom sheyesh bo mila, Let's say there's a bris. Sounds like bris and shul. Doesn't sound like it's your baby. Ra'ui shelo lachlot zaracha amila. It's ra'ui to keep the tefillin on until after the bris. Why? Ki mila he os. U tefillin him os. The mila's an os. The tefillin's an os. It's a good shidduch. Keep the tefillin on. So I was always bothered by this because we're going to learn in Siman Lamed Aleph that on Shabbos you're not allowed to wear tefillin. And I think the Zohar says it's the achi of Misa even, very chamer. Why? Because Shabbos is an ois, and if Shabbos is an ois, you can't have the ois at tefillin. So I was very excited. Dershu brought down, Rav Moshe Feinstein asked his kasha. I don't remember the answer he gave. And I listened to a shir today from my chavrusa, Rav Ami Mirzel. And he said Rav Nevenzel, one of his sichot, also gives an answer to this question. The different types of osos. One's an os on Yetzias Mitzrayim, one's an os on the covenant between us and Hashem, and okay, I don't know, it had a mahalach. But I was very excited to see I never heard the question, and I was bothered by this. Okay, so the minhag is to leave the tefillin on until after the Kedusha of Uval Etzion. Comes the Ramah, V'yesh mishakosa v'al tzara kabbalah, shelo lachlotz ad she'amar behem shalosh kedushot v'arba kadishim. You should not take off the tefillin al pi kabbalah until you've said three kedushas and four kadishes. Dehainu, which means la'achar kadish yasom. After Kaddish Yasum, you have the Kaddish before Barchu, you have the Kaddish after Shmoneh Esrei, you have the Kaddish to Skabal, and then at the end of davening, a Kaddish Yasum. V'hochi no'agin ha-medaktikim. And that's what the medaktikim, those who are careful about mitzvahs, that's what they do. I believe, as the Darkei Moshe says, that the remez is in the shins on the tefillin shorosh. Mm. One has three legs, and one has four legs, and it's meramez to the Kedushas and the Kaddishim. What I have issues understanding over here is the Mishabura Sifkat and Nun Vav brings down the, I believe it's a Shla. Ayin Aleph? Achronim. I think it's a Shla. Mishabura Sifkat and Nun Vav says, To Soferu. Uve Emet Zachlom Gimel Kaddishim Vidalik Kedushos. It shouldn't be three Kedushas and four Kaddishes. It should be the opposite. It should be four Kedushas and three Kaddishes. But wait a second, we don't have four Kedushas. We have the Kedusha in Birchas Krishma. We have the Kedusha of Shmoneh, of Chazaras Hashatz. We have the Kedusha of Uval Etzion. Where's the fourth? So he goes on to explain, Ki Baruch Hu Hashem Nechshav Chadash Yidav Hashem Kedusha. So one of them, Baruch Hu, also counts as a Kedusha. But what I don't understand is, I assume this is the Ramah. It doesn't say Haggah, but I still assume it's the Ramah. It explains Dehainu. He explains the fourth Kaddish is a Kaddish Yasub after the davening. The other three Kaddishes are non-negotiable. Dehainu la'achar Kaddish Yasub. So he doesn't just say something you can tell it's a mistake. It's the opposite. He explains it. That's why I'm having a hard time understanding why you have to say here is a Tos Sofer and it should be only three Kaddishes. He goes on to explain what the fourth Kaddish is. That's my issue, but okay.
Anyway, you can have four without that Kaddish Yasum.
Yeah, right. You could have two Mizmor Shir and Baruch Shamar.
Not that. Baruch Shamar, right before Baruch Hu, after Tachanin and after Uval
Etzion. Right.
Four.
Right. Right. But here he says, he throws in the Kaddish Yasum. Maybe they did, you know, like Israeli Haredi style. They started Baruch Shamar, so they don't say the Kaddish at the beginning. I don't know. But I don't know why he has to say it. The Ramah spells out what the fourth Kaddish is. That's my problem. I think it's a very obvious question, right? Someone should speak it out. Okay. Anyway, so I believe it's a Shlah. They say that there's a Tos Sofer, and the tefillin should be on till the end. Now, a couple lines from the bottom of the page, here the Mishnah Berurah gives us Musar. The anoshim shinogin the kapel atalos vatfilin ulanicham batikam beis amiras kaddish. Those people who are involved in wrapping their, you know, getting, wrapping up their talis, wrapping up their tefillin during kaddish, lo yafa heinosin. They're not doing good. The ma'od yesh lechavi bani as amein heishmei rabba, because you have to have a lot of kavana for amein heishmei rabba. The Amen Yesh Mei Rabba is on a higher level even than Kedusha. So you're supposed to have Kavana. So I heard the shir I heard today.
When I'm putting it away.
You have more Kavana when you're putting it away. So Ravami wanted to say, I heard today, that He said Reb Berkowitz is medayik that it's only during the Amen Yesh Mei Rabba that this is referring to. It could be it's okay until the Yesh Mei Rabba, could be afterwards, except the Amen at the end also has the status maybe of Amen Yesh Mei Rabba, could be. He said Reb Nevenzel did not like that. And he also felt that, you know, if even if you're a Talmud Chacham who has a Talmudic thumb to medayik in the Mishnah Berurah, that it's the Amen Yesh Mei Rabba, but the guy next to you is not so smart, and you're going to cause him to wrap his film and be mavatil the whole Yesh Mei Rabba. Anyway, it's a little mussar from the Mishnah Berurah that Amen Yesh Mei Rabba Kaddish is to be taken very, very seriously. And we will continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, with the rest of Sif Yud Gimel and Simin Chof Hei.